want to sit down.
Oh.
This is really informal. I know it's like with mics and stuff, but it's pretty informal. All right.
This is kind of like a new thing for me too. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think if I've ever done a question and answer thing. So, hey, let's give it a shot. I don't know where it's going to go, but yeah.
There's some really good questions. First one is, what are some practical ways a college guy can grow in his biblical masculinity right now in college?
Yeah. This is going to be sound kind of like the simple, easy way out answer, but and very cliche, but just to be in God's word, right? And kind of the testimony to that that I really see is that, or just the testimony that I can give is, I think when we started this church, the really only thing that we really, really, really wanted to do is just follow God's word, and it wasn't like, you know, we're like, you know, there might be five people here, you know, in the end, but we want to live God's word. And there's just a beauty and a wisdom in God's word. And when it comes to living it out as a people or as, you know, men and women, it's sufficient. And so, I would just encourage people to learn what God's, I mean, like, if you look at our whole church, we lead because, as elders, because that's what we feel that God's word says, is the structure that you know, he's kind of put in place for leadership. We teach expositorially because that's how we feel the best way to teach God's word is to teach it within context. I mean, we counsel with God's word because we think it's sufficient for soul care. You know, so, I mean, it sounds simple, but to be in God's word, again, I think that's something that early on I was weak at, and I think that hindered a lot of things. And just give you kind of a background. When Shelly and I got married, you know, I was kind of a leader at our church, and this is at another church. And but I don't think spiritually I was very strong. Actually, I was just put in positions of leadership, and I think part of the reason why I wasn't strong is just not in the Word enough. And even when it came down to like our premarital counseling, we had premarital counseling, and my pastor, I love this guy, and he's been a tremendous influence on us. But I think he had this kind of like greater sense of, you know, oh, you know, Kelly and Shelly, they're okay, you know, they're leading, serving, and they're okay. But so our premarital counseling was like one session at Starbucks, you know, and you know, I really wish that someone would just, you know, really kicked me and just said, hey, you know, you need to be in God's word. You need to see what marriage is. And as a result, you know, when we got married, marriage has been great, but there's been definite struggle. You know, I look at our church now and the people that are either not married or going to be married or in premarital counseling, like, man, it's exciting to see what you guys are learning because this is all stuff. And when I'm teaching and I'm sharing my testimony, it's because I just have a heart for you guys to do this, to live this way, to live God's word, because in one sense, I feel like I didn't. And it made things harder, you know, and it made things more difficult, and things happened slower. And like I said, God was gracious, and he's sovereign, and there was a purpose to that too, but you don't need to live it out that way. It doesn't have to be like that. You can live out his word and just really, you know, glorify God and just your role as a man. So you know, that's kind of the long answer. Say, read the Bible. the Sunday school answer again, but read God's word.
This is a good question. How can women encourage their guy friends to grow in character, in the word, in humility? What can women do to help cultivate biblical masculinity in their friends? Or what did you wish people did for you?
I was trying to think about that. You know, I think it was helpful, because I was thinking about it kind of in that context is, you know, when I was younger. And I think it was helpful when the women in our group encouraged us in our faith or encouraged us in our roles. I think it's encouraging for anyone, men or women too. But, you know, when, yeah, I think it was encouraging. You know, we weren't a big church and we kind of had a tight-knit group. And when, you know, a girl in our group, you know, which were essentially like our sisters, said, you know, how is your walk, or how is your quiet times, or if they called us out on something, you know, just like, you know, you need to kind of, you know, step up in this way. I think it meant something, you know, and not that you have to call them out, but just to, you know, you want to encourage them to live out these roles, to you know, live as men of God. You know, as I was looking at, what does biblical masculinity, that kind of idea or concept mean? It's very, you know, it's kind of those major big things, right? It's not like, oh, you know, you should have your hair super short or super long. You should, you know, you should be a person that plays sports. You know, that wasn't, you know, you've never seen the word those kind of things. It was kind of these bigger, greater issues. And, but yeah, I think when women, you know, the women that we were surrounded by just encouraged us, you know, just to live those, you know, things out, you know, and even when we get in relationships. So, like I said, I dated Shelley for a long time. But Shelley was very encouraging of my ministries. She was almost like a helper at that point. You know, like I would lead VBS at our old church and she would be there just keeping track of all these things that I needed to do, or helping me buy things, or helping me to design things or whatever. And that was super helpful. I mean, that was encouraging, you know, that like already in ministry, and she was young in her faith because she became a Christian, you know, post-college, but she was already kind of understanding that, you know, she was taking a role of support, you know, and that was awesome.
Yeah, so like affirmation in those
affirmations.
Yeah, that's good.
Encouragement.
What do you think are some of the consequences? Or did anyone have any questions? Okay. What do you think are some of the consequences for your marriage, for family, of not living out biblical masculinity? Like, how does that affect those things?
So, you know, obviously, I'm not done with my role, right? I'm not like, I'm still in the midst of being a husband and being a father. And if there's bumpy patches, you know, with me or my kids or me with my wife, I can always take it back to just, you know, just my sin and not leading in the way I should be, not being the man of God that I'm called to be. It's funny, you know, I'm an elder and, you know, a leader in the church. But definitely, I still struggle with, you know, leading my kids, leading my wife. And I'm always still trying to figure out what that looks like. But believe me when I say this, and again, this is talking from the other side, you know, of someone that's married, someone that has kids. God's word is wisdom, and it's our best intentions too, right? You know, it brings him glory, but it's also, it's our best intentions. It's what, it's kind of, you know, how we, you know, we are supposed to live. And when we fall short of those things, it's harmful. I don't think there's really any other way of saying it. When we, in our marriages, to neglect to pray with our wives, or when we neglect to lead our kids with our words and instead take the lazy way out and just, when they do something wrong, tell them to knock it off, or, you know, send them to their room. When we take the easy way out and we don't lead them biblically, we don't pray with them, we don't model things of Christ, it'll have an effect. You know, it's kind of a stern warning, but just, you know, yeah, you know, and it may be in little things, it can be in big things, but we need to really kind of live those things out. And you'll see, it's funny because you're like, wow, you know, it really works. You know, it's like, oh, God's word is, yeah, that's really wise, you know. And it's so funny that we have to kind of experience it before we go, oh yeah, there's real truth to that, you know. But it's true, when you, you know, you try to live those things out, you'll see fruit. And if when you don't, or you get lazy, or you're undisciplined, you're gonna kind of feel the effects of it. So yeah.
This is a really good question. What would you say to men who are maybe in our culture we have this picture of what men should be, especially in the church? Mm-hmm. They should be take initiative, they should be charismatic and outgoing. But what would you say to men who aren't as charismatic or outgoing? How would you encourage them to grow in being a leader?
Yeah. I think first, you know, maybe I would encourage them not to get away from what they think a leader is, in terms of what the world has told us the leader is. So I don't know, you know, the picture might be some sort of military guy. It might be some sort of, you know, sports guy, you know, just someone that's take charge and follow me. But, you know, the picture of a leader is something altogether different, right, in God's word. And so I don't think we need to worry about necessarily, you know, just being some sort of charismatic guy and someone that people naturally are want to follow. I would say to work on the things more like just humility, right? Because let me tell you, being a leader is one of the most humbling things, you know. As an elder, you know, a father and a husband, it's humbling. I mean, I'm not sure if I've shared this when I was preaching, but you know, there's times, you know, Zoe's getting to that age where, you know, she understands a ton, right? And there's been times where I realize I've sinned against her, right? And just having to humble myself and say, Zoe, I'm sorry, please forgive me, you know, because that wasn't right. You know, what I did, that was sin, you know, and I need your forgiveness. And you don't expect to ever have to do that as they grow up. You know, it's just like right now for Piper, you never expect, you know, I'm going to sin against her, but it happens. And as a leader, the thing that I need to do is humble myself and ask for forgiveness and model this idea that I'm not perfect. I need her forgiveness. I need Christ's forgiveness. I wouldn't worry about being like the picture of, you know, whatever we see in the movies or media or whatever, that I would, you know, actually, you know, try to kind of eradicate that from your head and try to think about what does leadership look like in the Bible? What is, you know, I mean, we look at Christ and he's the ultimate leader, and yet his leadership of these 12 men were washing their dirty feet and then going to a cross and dying for them. You know, I know Christ was the perfect charismatic probably person too. I mean, people probably were just drawn to his messages, but at the same time, his leadership was just humility and just love and caring for and looking out for, you know. I think it's a different picture than we sometimes get painted. So,
I know you touched on this a little bit in your preaching talking about your dad, but do you think it's ever okay for men to not be the primary provider? That was when if he's physically disabled or unable to get a job or he has a lower paying job than his wife. Do you think that's ever okay?
I think that's a kind of a tricky one. I think the goal in my mind should always be for the husband to provide. Now that said, you know, as like a small business owner, we were making $0 as a company or as individuals. You know, you pay your workers and then just, you know, nothing left, or you're trying to pay bills. So when we first got married, we were living on Shelley's income, you know. But it's always been our goal that I would eventually catch up and I'd get to that place. And you know, praise the Lord, like, you know, pretty soon it was like, oh, she could work part-time, you know, pretty soon. She could quit her industry because she was kind of fed up with just, you know, her industry. It's a kind of a dark industry that she was in at the time. And then she could work with us a little bit, you know, part-time. And then eventually now she stays at home full-time, except for, you know, doing little things for us here and there. But, and so that's been a blessing, and it's always kind of been the desire of our heart. I think there are seasons for sure. Like I was saying, you know, my dad had a kidney transplant. So Jared gave my dad one of his kidneys. And basically that time he was just very sick, you know. And there was a reason why he needed a kidney. He was just sick and he couldn't perform. I mean, I think he was like 20-25% of his kidney. And when your body's just not filtering things and you just don't have energy and you're sick, there's only so much you can do. So my mom, and this is when we were grown, but my mom, you know, was working. You know, she's working full time, and at times, the you know, she had to provide. But you know, praise God, you know, it took, and you know, he has all this energy now, and you know, he went back to work full time, and that's always been his hope. But there's definitely been seasons where he loses job, and you know, we just kind of have to make do. But I would encourage, especially because I feel like the women, especially when it comes to kids, it's such a great thing when the wives can be home with the kids and take care of the little ones. And I think it's a joy to them, a joy for them that a career, I don't think, you know, to me cannot bring, right? Just to shepherd a little one's heart. So just as men being able to free up our wives to do that, I think that's like a blessing. And to serve in the church in different ways because, you know, you're taking care of that provision, I think. But yeah, I mean, I don't say there's like a hard and fast rule, you know, or anything like that, but I that would be my encouragement. And in our household, I know it's been a blessing the more and more we've been able to pull Shelley out of having to work. It's been really good. And I think it's helped her manage our household, you know, just our little girls better. You know, it's so neat because, like, you know, Shelley's kind of an organized person, so she can, like, you know, Zoe, did you, you know, practice piano, or, you know, did you have your quiet time, or, you know, let's do this, or, you know, it's just, yeah, she can, and then, you know, she can shepherd her when she's taking her to school, and she can pray for a different time. I mean, it's just really good if you can provide that opportunity for the wives. So,
this was one that a couple people texted me. So guys, listen up. Okay. But how do you think, especially college men, how do you think men should guard a woman's heart? And we have another message later on biblical dating, but as a man, how do you guard someone else's heart?
Guard their heart in...
We'll say from a friendship perspective. You know, if you have a woman who's just a friend, how do you go about conducting yourself there, or any advice that you would give to the guys in that area?
I'm trying to think if I understand the question well enough.
That's a big question.
Like... Okay, give it to me one more time.
Or
give me an example of what kind of...
Just like a guy who has a friend that's a girl who, uh-huh. who they're close with.
Uh-huh.
Maybe, you know, they go to school together. Uh-huh. They talk, they get along really well. Uh-huh. How does that guy conduct himself as a godly man in that friendship as to guard her heart from not, you know, falling in love with him or... You know, okay. You know that okay. type of thing.
Yeah. Okay. I needed it to be
not putting herself in, not putting himself in situations that
yeah.
are shady.
Okay. Good. Thanks. Sometimes I need it spelled out for me.
Yeah. Right? No, sorry. I guess these are terms that college students use, but
yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So I'm old. Well, so growing up. I think in our household, and so just kind of paint a picture. So there's four guys. I think when there's guys, I think there's kind of less of concern for the guys. Like, oh, you know, they're independent. You don't have to worry about their safety. There's this and that. But I think at the same time with men, at that point, parents, there's kind of this a little bit more hands-off approach. Whereas, like, you know, if you have daughters and even when they're college, you're just like, man, I don't – you know, you call me and you do this and that. And like, you know, for us, I mean, this is horrible. But like, there were a couple times that we just didn't come home. You know, we go out, we play basketball, and then we just don't come home. You know, and if Zoe ever did that, oh my gosh, you know, just lock her in the castle dungeon forever and ever. But that said, I think as guys, I think I would appreciate it if my parents would have set rules for me. Because, and so, and here's going back again. So we were in groups where, you know, there was fathers whose daughters had absolute rules, like just spending time with guys one-on-one, talking to guys on phones, this and that. And, you know, we're coming from this, you know, family of four boys who really don't have any kind of like, hey, we don't have to really worry about these guys, whatever. So we don't really have kind of that structure, that same structure. But I would have, so, you know, and my parents would agree that they definitely weren't perfect in their parenting, but I think we all need parameters. And it kind of sounds weird to say like, oh, you know what, you guys should never be, you know, guys should never be in a girl's, you know, bedroom by themselves, right? And, you know, that's, you know, some people might think, well, that's kind of like legalistic or whatever. I wish my parents would have just said, you know, don't do this. Like, just be this way, you know, and, or do this thing and continue to the instruction even in college and kind of set rules and guidelines where just there wasn't kind of confusion. I think it's helpful. And I, at the time, thought, wow, that's just harsh. You know, why would you put that on your daughter to, you know, she can't do this or she can't do that or she can't call you on the phone or whatever. That's just harsh. You know, it's, you know, that's no fun. But I totally see the wisdom now, right? So I was that guy just like, you know, whatever. And now I'm like, that will be Zoe. You know, she will be the daughter that, you know, there'll be time that she has to be here. There'll be rules in terms of one-on-one with guys and what age that happens and to what extent and how to talk on the phone. And if it's not your parents doing it, then I would place that on yourselves because, I mean, I think it's just a way of loving your sister because there's not going to be confusion. You know, I mean, you guys might get along and you might think, man, I got this really cool, you know, like I had those friends where they're like, man, this is like a sister. Like we didn't have sisters, so this girl's like the sister and she talks different than my brothers and she's fun in a different way. But you know, on the other side, you don't know what's going on. And so groups are a great thing. I mean, I don't know if it sounds old fashioned to you, but groups are an awesome thing. And we did a lot of that. And I think that was definitely helpful. But even as you know, transition into boyfriend, girlfriend things, I think just, you know, use wisdom and place rules on yourself and maybe rules that you don't find in the word, but rules that make sense in terms of, you know, not putting yourself in places where, you know, you're going to stumble or whatever. But just in terms of wrong feelings, I would just say, you know, keep it in groups, you know, keep it. Yeah. And I think if they see, you know, if you're able to interact with different women, just, you know, lovingly and in kind of similar ways, and they'll realize, you know, that's who he is. And, you know, so I don't know. Does that answer the question kind of?
Yeah. Any questions?
The other side, what happens if you're a guy and let's say you feel a certain way or you're a romantic way. Maybe you don't feel like it's appropriate to have those feelings at the time. You're not looking for a relationship.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, I think if it's something that you want to pursue, then I would pursue it. You know, if it's something that you don't want to pursue, then I would keep it, you know, kind of pretty casual and in groups, and because then, if it does get to places of one-on-ones and stuff like that, and then if it's not a good place for you to be at, you know, I mean, you need to grow in a certain area. Whatever the case may be, you feel God has said, you know, not right now, this is not the time, for whatever reason, then yeah, I would definitely kind of same thing applies. Let's all have fun in groups, you know. I'll talk to her, but then it's not going to look like we're, you know, or I won't be tempted to just, I don't know, you know, divulge more than is necessary kind of thing. And just, you know, keep it more, we're all brothers and sisters together. And yeah, does that kind of answer the question?
Any other questions?
Like a shock collar or something like that you get.
Yeah, maybe the last question for tonight is what are some of the resources or books or, you know, anything that have been helpful for you in your growth as a biblical man, in your continued growth? What are some resources that the men can kind of glean from and pick up?
Yeah, so I think early on in our marriage, you know, we got some books, and looking back, I'm like, man, I don't think that was they were the best books to read. And, you know, this is prior to Lighthouse, and then in coming here and then going to Masters for, you know, biblical counseling, we're just flooded. And in fact, we have to take a marriage and, you know, family course. And it's like, man, where was this course, you know, 10 years ago? And so, but there is a lot of good ones. And maybe what I'll do is I'll just kind of give you a little bibliography. I'll send it to you guys and you pass it along to anyone that's kind of interested. But there's a lot of good books. And yeah, kind of along the lines of what I was touching on, you know, you just, as you read this, you just see this wisdom of, like, I mean, even, you know, as we're we're taught to counsel people in different ways. But, you know, there's people that will come because their marriages are struggling. And these books really kind of open your eyes to just the anthropology, right? The man, and just the theology, just God, and how, like, when marriages are struggling, you know, people are kind of living for themselves, living selfishly. They're kind of living they're living in anger out of unmet needs. And really, you know, these books kind of point us to God's word that, you know, show us the places where, you know, it just talks about how, you know, again, like, we're about glorifying God. We're about loving our wives. You know, it's like Kim's shared the definition of love. Love, you know, love is about committing to someone, imperfect people, without an expectation of anything in return, right? And that's completely foreign to the world, right? Love in the world is like, you know, love me and I'll love you back, or I'll meet you halfway and all that stuff. But, you know, all it takes is someone not to meet halfway, and then now you guys are not connecting at all. Or, you know, but if you think about two Christians, a husband and wife, just selflessly, sacrificially, generously, graciously loving their spouse, and just trying to do that. I mean, obviously we're not perfect, but when you're trying to do that, it's a beautiful picture. And that's what these books are kind of, you know, kind of sure. So I'll kind of give you a bibliography and yeah, maybe jot down some that. And so, yeah, it's weird. It might sound weird to read like a book on marriage right now for you guys, or even on parenting, right? It's like, really, you know, I'm only 20, you know, but it happens fast. Like, I feel like I was you just yesterday. Like, I can't believe I'm 43 years old. I feel like, I don't feel like I'm 43. I should, you know, I don't feel that far removed from where you guys are. And I wish someone would say, hey, you know what? You should think about these things right now. You should pray about these things right now. You should learn about these things.
And those resources really help us to kind of continually be working on ourselves, so that when that time comes, we can be ready. But thanks, y'all. Let me pray for us, and then we will close our time.
Sorry, did we go along? Huh?
No. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for your grace upon us. We thank you for the gospel and how you have saved us, sinful men and women, Lord. And Lord, as we go over this topic of biblical manhood and womanhood, we pray that you would soften our hearts, you would humble us to your word, help us to think clearly and understand Lord, what you have written to us. We thank you for Kelly and the ministry that you've given him, Lord. We thank you that he's one of our elders and one of our leaders. We pray for the elders, and we thank you for giving them to us, that they shepherd us and watch over us and care for us, Lord. We want to pray for Kelly. We thank you for bringing him here and blessing us. Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless him and his family, Shelley and Zoe and Piper, Lord. We pray that you would continue to work in their hearts. And for the men here, Lord, that we would walk away tonight just remembering what it means to be a man and what it means to be a man after your heart, pursuing Christ's likeness, Lord. We pray for the women that, Lord, they would help us men to fill the roles that you've called us to, and that, Lord, they would be an encouragement to the men in this ministry as well, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you for your word and for Christ. We pray that you would watch over us, Lord, as we go about our weeks. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks.
Thanks, God.